At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 36. Just looked it up. We're already to 36 episodes here of the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. Of course, he is Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam G. Sager, at Sean Unfiltered. That's if we have Twitter we don't know how much longer if we'll keep it. I think it's staying. I think everyone's just blowing everything way out of proportion, which in this world, does anything surprise you that people are blowing things out of proportion?
No, and Musk didn't get to be a billionaire by being stupid.
I don't think he's just going to spend $40 billion to then just tear it down in 2 weeks and be like, it's done.
Yeah, here's your $45 million, throw it in the trash. $45 billion, should I say?
Yeah, billion, yeah.
Whatever it was, billion. No, billionaires do not give money away. I'm talking about even $100 of it. They know how to keep money, not just make it. He ain't giving it away.
I will say, though, if Twitter did go away, I don't know what I would do with a lot of my time because, you know, you're always engaged in conversations. You're looking at videos. You learn so much about sports, you know, breaking news and everything just through Twitter. There's nothing like Twitter out there. Instagram, TikTok, none of that is what Twitter is. So it would be, I don't want to say devastating, that's the wrong word, but it would be very weird without Twitter.
Be an irritant. Yeah, it would be odd. We've relied on so much to get quick, urgent information. Right. You know what it'll do? It'll go back to your ass. It'll be going to encyclopedia at the library to find history, right?
you know who would benefit the most from Twitter? One channel, ESPN News. They would actually have to go back to being ESPN News and having breaking news constantly on there.
You'd be looking at the bottom, the lower third, brother. You'd be looking at the bottom line, the ticker across. Yep. That's where you get all your updated shit. That's right.
Like I still remember as a kid waking up and, you know, going to ESPN and just watching that bottom line and just seeing what the scores were from the night before, or watching SportsCenter, you know, six times because, you know, you walk in the room and damn, I just missed the Bulls highlights. I wanted to see them. I wanted to see what Jordan did. And you had to wait an hour or so. So it was I don't want to go back to those times, though. I like having at my fingertips all the time.
There's a lot of reasons why Twitter is a pain in the ass.
Yes. 100,
a lot
yes.
of them.
A lot of ways.
And, you know, if you could promise me you'd eliminate the trolls, the bots. And when I mean troll, I don't mean the fun ones that joke around, you know, have that, but the ones that are just there to create, they're there that you'd like. If I saw you in person, I'd throat punch you, but I'll never see you in person because you're too afraid to leave your home. That guy, right? But the laughter and the fun and the information, and you almost feel like you can reach a buddy of yours you haven't seen in 20 years. Say, you know, it's just like it's instantaneous. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it'll be weird. And then we just naturally grab our phone and push it, the app.
Yes. Yes.
To see what's going on.
It's like, one of the first two things I do in the morning.
Right. Put a payphone back in too. Hey, man, I'm going to start calling people to get information. It's like crazy. It feels archaic. It's not going away. Now, I would imagine there's going to be adjustments to it that's going to turn some people away from it. But the people who don't want to be a part of it, have at it. Go ahead. But yeah, I don't think $44 billion brings you in just to get rid of it, Sags. He's beyond that. And I saw somebody said it, and I can't remember who it was, that Sports 70s guy who does a great, I don't know if you follow him.
Yeah.
He's got some classic shit, dude. He's one of the all-timers. He said, listen, the dude can get to space. I think he'll know how to fix an app. Okay,
right. So
people are panicking. I'll get a little bit hot under the collar if it actually does go away, but I think he's just trying to fix it to his liking, and he's one of the great trolls of all time. He didn't want it to go away either.
Oh
He,
yeah, I
he's
mean
one of the great antagonizers. He's
he's
yeah.
posting
You
this
kidding me?
morning pictures of Twitter on a tombstone in front of a grave,
Oh
like a
yeah.
cartoon grave. Like he's just
Dude,
messing around this morning.
and he's getting more usage than ever. And he's also, this is probably the most usage since everybody was uptight about Trump, right? Good or
Right.
bad, right? Everybody's tripping over that. So he's become like when somebody says something, he goes, "Well, you're welcome." When it talks about, how well all these people
AOC.
at Twitter goes, "You're welcome."
AOC went
Right.
on there
Oh
and thanked
yeah.
Twitter and everybody who's helped get it to where it is. And then right
He
under it,
said,
there's
"You're welcome."
Elon Musk. You're welcome.
And I'm here for it when he can antagonize her any day of the friggin' week, dude. Okay. I'm all
Oh,
for that.
yeah.
Yes.
So we will see what happens with Twitter. And before we get into breaking down the NFL, what happened last night, what we're looking forward to this weekend, the college football playoff scenarios continue to be wild. And then we will pick our final four. Our player of the year and our coach of the year, right at the end of the show. So, but before that, as always, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Okay, and just so Segs knows before I give you the bet online that my team, the Kansas Jayhawks, are the reigning national champions. So before I put that in, basketball is back, okay? And Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds and team matchup information, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, Bet Online features live betting, free contest, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. And World Cup starts this weekend, so that'll be a fun one too. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. As in Victor, believe to receive your rewards. Bet online where the game starts.
As always, thank you to Bet Online. And real quick before we get to the NFL and what happened last night, no drinking beers at the World Cup there in Qatar or Qatar or however you want to say it. I heard someone else
I've
say it a
heard it
third
both.
way. I heard
Yep.
someone else just say it a weird way. I can't even remember how they said it, but it threw me off. But yeah, there'll be no drinking at the games at the World Cup this year.
Or like in the like this closely surrounding
Yeah, just
areas, is
right.
that what
Yeah, in
they
the whole
say?
areas. Yeah.
Do they have pubs around these? I mean, I'm
I
not
have
being a
no
smartass.
idea.
I don't.
You
Do
think
they have
so?
pubs within sports venue? I would imagine so, right? Or a pub or a bar, whatever they call it. Are you telling me that it's just like it at like kiosks? You know how sometimes they'll have like streets closed off for this stuff so you can drink like an Oktoberfest type
Right,
of
right.
thing, right? So if you and I own a bar in Qatar, Qatar. That the place that starts with Q, that place we're having the World
That
Cup,
really rich ass country.
with a lot of money. What? So if I have it, you're not telling me that my establishment can't serve booze where they could go drink before they walk across the street if there's one near these facilities, right? You're telling me it's outside of your bar, correct? I'm hoping. And you can't drink inside the stadium. So that's gonna take away from a lot of soccer, well, craziness in the stadium because that's part of the fun watching those folks get after it. I love World Cup soccer, Segs. I know you do too. I mean, I know you don't watch much soccer, but World Cup, I know you'll watch
I
because
watch
it's just
zero soccer until the World Cup.
the World Cup. Exactly. But you'll watch this, but I don't know, man. Think about, well, just for this couple weeks, think about how much money is going to be lost for the money that you would have spent on just a cold beer there for everybody at every venue. But they've decided not to do it, which. Okay, then that's fine. Then maybe this is the World Cup I'm glad I'm not at because it is a bucket list of mine to go to World Cup outside off the US soil where it's somewhere like, whether it's Brazil or one of the spots that's away from US soil. I would love to go to a World Cup and on US soil, but I guess that I'll just be drinking from my patio in my own place, say, it's a cold beer that they don't get to drink. So I'm going to enjoy the World Cup more than those that are in the stadium. How's that going?
Yeah, I'm reading the story on ESPN.com now, and it says that basically they were going to do just full-blown alcohol sales at first. Budweiser won the bid or whatever you want to call it to
Right.
be the sponsor. And then it went down to just very small tents that were going to be less visible for the people that were complaining. And now it's gone all the way down to zero alcohol in the stadium or around the stadiums. themselves. So there will be no alcohol around the stadiums. Now, I'm sure if you own a pub two blocks away, you'll be fine. But they cannot take it into the vicinity of the stadiums. And just so you do know, though, Budweiser is still a sponsor because they will be able to sell their Bud Zero, which I guess is just non-alcoholic beer.
Was that non-alcoholic beer?
Yeah. So
that's what beer drinkers drink when they're not drinking beer. I wonder, Sigs, and I don't know this. I know we're going to see their answer. I mean, you're going to see their ads everywhere with Budweiser because beer sponsors spend a lot of money at sporting events. I wonder if somehow that makes them irritated. Do they get a discount now because you can't drink their Budweiser?
You'd have to. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? I mean, you can show the signs and all the ads. Right. Right. Aren't you like saying, well, the money you were going to make in sales and the money you spent per 30 or 60 second advertisement, we are going to cut you a deal because people aren't drinking your Budweiser with glasses that say Budweiser on it or cups around the facility and trash cans with Budweiser written on trash can, all the money you're spending. It would seem to me like Budweiser would be cut a little bit of a deal through this, wouldn't you?
If I'm Budweiser, I say fuck you to the FIFA and the World Cup and pull my advertising. I say I want everything covered up. I want it all taken away. I don't want a single cup that says Bud Light, Budweiser, Bud anything, Bud Zero. I don't care what. I'm pulling everything out.
Yeah,
still make billions of dollars a year, Bud. So,
of course,
you don't need the World Cup.
Yeah, the World Cup's not going to dictate how successful Budweiser is, but it just adds more to the bottom line, a coin, right?
Everybody
wants to make more revenue. But to me, then if that's the case, why didn't you go get soda? Go get Coca-Cola or somebody else did. Right. If I'm Budweiser, I'm like, so I'm just supposed to be all in on this, and you're telling me that the dudes across the street are going to go order a Coors Light at another bar if they have to because they're pissed that they can't drink near it. And Budweiser, it's almost like Budweiser's going to be punished, and I'm not even talking about financially, in a roundabout way, like, well, we can't drink, screw, but which is not fair to them, right? Because they obviously want you to drink beer responsibly. Right. So crazy stuff. But like I said, I can guarantee you one thing. Guess what they're not doing at my house?
Taking away your beer.
That's exact. Or at yours.
No, my fridge is stocked. It's ready to go. And FIFA,
I can guarantee it for us. Yeah.
Or Qatar or Qatar or whoever from that country isn't taking mine. So
yeah, whoever Mr. FIFA is, he walks in my door and says, I'm gonna take your beer away. I'm gonna say, good, how much money you got?
Right.
I'll tell you can have it for 2 weeks, but you're gonna pay because I'm drinking that cold beer in there and you're not getting an ounce of it. There you go.
Exactly. Yep. All right. Look into the NFL. Titans beat the Packers. Packers fall to 4-7. And things aren't getting better with their schedule. Next week they're at Philadelphia. Then they play at the Bears, which, you know, is a different team than what they played earlier in the season. Then they play the Rams, who themselves are very disappointing, but not a game that they're guaranteed to win. Then they play at Miami and then home against the Vikings, home against the Lions. So, I mean, Sean, we could be looking at a 6-11 Green Bay Packers team. And my question
to you
is, they're
not making the playoffs.
No, not. They needed to win last night to kind of keep that momentum from the Cowboys win going. Yep. But now, you know, they may get to 6 wins, maybe 7. And then all you're doing is you're in mediocrity. You're in the middle of the draft. You're not helping yourselves with one of the elite players. And things just aren't looking great. But my question to you is, how are you feeling right now if you're Aaron Rodgers? Like, you signed the big deal, so obviously you're happy about that. But you thought you were going to have 2 to 3 more years of playoffs in your future. And year one, your team's falling apart.
Yep. And Sags, it looks to me like they're in a rebuilding mode, although you don't want to say that if you're Aaron Rodgers and Bakhtiari and a few of the studs, right? Offensively, look around, man. They got a couple good running backs. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But Watson will be good, but he's still, you know, Christian Watson. They got some receivers that Randall Cobb's at the tail end of his career. I mean, it's winding down. I mean, he's still a guy, but he's your third or fourth guy on a team. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, a twofold, Packers and Rodgers, you think Rodgers wants to finish his career doing this?
Mm-mm.
I don't. Do you? He's making $50 million a year. Say, what if I painted this scenario to you? And this is the first time I've ever said, because I said he'd retire a Packer. I've been on that train since it didn't work out and he got the deal done, you know, the $50 million, all that and stuff. Now that Devontae Adams is gone and they're still, I think, and it may not be one of those where there's vitriol between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I just almost feel like the transition's going to be this. Jordan Love next year will be going on his rookie end of the year deal, right, Segs? At the end of next year, right? Right.
Yes.
He's going to be year four in the fall, correct? This is year three with him at with that draft.
God, is it?
Because he wasn't a rookie already? Last year. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Man. He is not. This is year three. So he ain't going to play this year. If he doesn't play next year, you're at the end of a rookie deal and you haven't seen him but a couple handful of snaps since he's been there. Started what, one game? Was that Kansas City? And they got, was that the game, Segs? Maybe it was Kansas City.
Yes,
I think last year was it Kansas City when
pull it up
Rodgers got suspended for COVID. Remember?
Yes, one. Wasn't that the game? That's right. Yep.
Okay, so, and the first time I ever heard anybody say this guy can be a player was this last preseason. They said he made strides. All right, I mean, as far as being a guy. So what if I painted this scenario for a year that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers at the end of this year say Raiders are going to trade Derek Carr.
This is Devontae just Adams. Jordan Love's second year.
Can't be. He wasn't a rookie last year.
I just looked it up. 21.
There's no friggin' way. There's no friggin' way he was a rookie. He wasn't a rookie last year. Last year was the Trey Lance class. He didn't come out of that class.
Yeah,
this
you're
is
right.
Trey Lance's second year.
Why is it? This
is
wrong.
His third year. Yeah,
Zach Pro Football
Wilson,
reference is
Trey
wrong
Lance.
Then
on
Jordan Love. You're right. Yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, this is year three.
So they have to make the decision on his fifth-year option this offseason.
Right.
And he's thrown 71 passes.
Right, and most of them but one of the game have been in a backup role. Yeah. Okay? I believe that, or maybe two if there was an injured game. Too. Point is, we don't know enough about him to know if he's going to be a player yet. Mm-hmm. But if you're the Packers and you say $50 million a year for a couple more years, Devontae Adams is there. 49ers got to find out. They gave up too much for the Trey Lance thing, right?
Right.
To say that he's not going to play. Jimmy, even if they go to the Super Bowl and win it this year, you still got to find out Trey Lance or Jimmy. You're going to move Jimmy and start Trey Lance or one way or the other. So you say, okay, what about Josh McDaniels saving his job and doing what the Rams did when they got Stafford and saying, our assets haven't worked? Because look at their first rounders over the last 3 years, Segs. They blow.
Mm-hmm.
They've been awful. And the two left of the since 2019 are neither one of their fifth year options were picked up by the Raiders. So that's five or six first rounders that have not worked out. So now, what if I told you Carr is going to be playing in New Orleans, in Carolina, in I'm Baker Mayfield? Maybe you get my point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
somewhere like that, and they trade Aaron Rodgers for a one and a two or something to the Raiders, and McDaniel says, "I'm going to try to survive," because they didn't draft Derek Carr. He's not their guy. What if I told you I'm going to give you the odds, even odds that Rodgers finishes his career somewhere else? Are you on or off on that? If you're the Packers, you want two first rounders for him?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Knowing you're not a Super Bowl team right now. What would you do?
Right. I mean, with what you've seen, and if the Raiders come offering two ones, yeah, I mean, I would probably do it. I mean, I think I would have to. And then, you know, you start Jordan Love for a year. Yep. You see what happens. You don't give him his fifth year option because you're not paying that. But you take the chance. You roll the dice. You start him for 1 year. If he sucks, you have two first rounders and you're going into the draft saying, okay, well, how do we need to get to two or, you know, whatever to get up and get a Caleb Williams, Quinn Ewers, one of those guys in that class.
Okay, what other asset do they have, Segs, that's going to cash in? If you're looking for a team, if you're a playoff team or a team that wants one final run at it for a coach, Aaron Rodgers is your answer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the Packers and feel like you're in that mode and don't want to pay $150 million for another two or three years, whatever it is. 100 for two, 150. Was it a 3 or 4 year deal? Whatever it was. And you say, well, we got to get it while the getting's good. How else are you going to build your team if you don't trade? What other assets are going to yield you that?
I mean, if you're just looking, are you looking to just tear down, you're saying? And who can
I'm looking at, okay, Rodgers, let's say if you think Love can get you 9 wins. Mm-hmm. And you need 3 or 4 more players and assets. There ain't nobody else on that roster that's going to get you what Rodgers is.
Oh yeah, no, it's got to be you're trading Aaron Rodgers because nobody
first
else.
First time
I mean,
I've thought, yeah, this is the first time I felt legitimately like this actually could be his last year in Green Bay. You on that page or not?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I honestly thought he was gone last year. I thought
Okay.
it was going to be the Broncos that came in and got Aaron Rodgers last year.
Right.
But the Packers stepped up and they offered him the contract and
yeah.
And
Seemed
Rodgers
logical
took it.
With Nathaniel Hackett too. And what they gave up for Wilson, don't you think they would have rather given that up for Rodgers now?
Oh, 100%.
The way Wilson's playing, it's not even close, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But you know what? And here's what I'm going to say about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers specifically. I feel like he kind of did this to himself in terms of when you look back the few years ago when Jordan Love was drafted, Aaron Rodgers would not commit to the Packers. There was all these rumblings about him retiring, about him asking for a trade, about all this for years, for a couple of years. There was all this talk about Aaron Rodgers and what he was going to do, and he was going to want out of Green Bay. So what did Green Bay do? They kind of covered their ass, and they went and got Jordan Love in the first round instead of going and getting a great offensive lineman or a great defensive, a rusher or, you know, a wide receiver, whatever it was. They covered their ass because Aaron Rodgers would not commit. And yeah, I mean, in the end, it really sucked for the Packers. It hurt because Jordan Love is now just a wasted. They might as well just thrown that in the trash, that first round pick.
3 years and will have thrown less than 100 passes.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot do that unless you're a team that has the quarterback telling you, this is it. This is my final year. We're, you know, let's go for the Super Bowl. But then even again, you still got to say, okay, do we want to use that and make the one run with a Hall of Fame quarterback and use it on a wide receiver because we're, you know, Devontae Adams, but we need that second guy, you know, whatever it is,
right,
whatever position it is, it the Packers screwed up that pick, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers helped them at
right
all.
And I don't think the Raiders will be the only team inquiring about that. I can
no.
See a New Orleans Saints. Hell, I don't know. If Brady walks, you willing to give Rodgers a go there? With that offense there to replace
and see,
it?
Here's where I look at it. If you're the Raiders, though, you're not giving up a top five pick for him, I don't think.
Oh, no. Not at this stage.
But that's
career.
Where they're going to be drafting.
That's a good point.
So,
good point.
You know, at Carolina, you're not giving up a top five pick because Aaron Rodgers doesn't take you and make you Super Bowl contender.
But in Tampa, you're not going to have a
top five
pick.
Tampa is a team that makes a lot of sense.
Because they are still a Super Bowl relevant team with or without Brady with the talent around them. Rodgers ain't going to a team that's rebuilding. If you're going to get him, you're going to think, we are on the cusp. We are one player away, and that's the player, and at that position, correct?
Yeah.
We're
talking about this.
They,
the Jets are
right.
a team. Let me throw one other team at you. You've
and
talked
the only
about
reason
them
I say
already.
Jets is the only reason I say Jets, Sigs. If Zach, and now they're a playoff team right now. If Zach Wilson doesn't continue to make, you know, if he doesn't get to the
right,
point
if he
where
doesn't
he's
show
accurate
any,
and you feel it,
yeah.
Right. The depth of growth, big time growth.
And maybe
but
the Packers
if his
look
growth
at it
doesn't match the team's growth, right?
And say, give me the picks and Zach Wilson and
right,
let's go.
We like
but
him.
Here,
right.
Let me throw another team at you. They go into the playoffs this year and fall short in the NFC Championship game. From the area, San Francisco calls, says, you know what? Trey Lance can't stay healthy. Jimmy G's not our guy. He can't get us over that hump. We'll throw you a couple picks and Trey Lance.
Or Jimmy. Bit more veteran,
yeah.
Right?
And, you know, you guys can go your way. We'll go this way. We're making a run. We just went and got Christian McCaffrey. We had signed Debo Samuel. We have George Kittle. We have all this talent that we keep talking about with the 49ers. And they fall short again. I mean, I think you'd have
and
to
it's
look at
because
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Sags, think about this, too. And if – because if Jimmy's the reason they don't get over the top, can't make a certain throw or two in a
mm-hmm.
Super Bowl or
right.
an NFC Championship game, even take it one level, which would be unprecedented. Sakes, let's say this. Well, who's their backup right now? Purdy? Brock Purdy, I think, right? Isn't
I
he?
Believe
I think
so,
Sakes.
Yeah.
I think. So let's just say this. Let's say you, because Rodgers has been durable. Wouldn't it be unprecedented? Let's say they get to the NFC Championship game and falter offensively, and Green Bay says, we love Jimmy. We'll give you a second round pick for him. Or, I mean, I'm talking about for Jimmy, and then you want to, but for, I'm just talking about a pick. Forget, move Rodgers aside. Let's say he wasn't there. So you're going to add that in there. But now you say, okay, with Rodgers, we want Jimmy, and we'd like a first rounder and a second or a third. Fair enough. Okay. I'm just throwing something out there.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you do this, Sigs, and 49ers and the Packers say, okay. And then you turn right around and say, who loves Trey Lance? Haven't seen enough. And wouldn't it be, can you imagine unprecedented that you went and traded one guy and then turned around and traded the other guy? Even though there's that, you know how somebody says, there's a lot of guys out there like a Carolina that says, we love him. Detroit, we're not, we can't, you know, even though Detroit may be picking high, we want to build our team. The Texans, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm just
yeah. Someone that falls right outside of the good quarterbacks this year,
right?
That you and, know and what says we want that young guy coming in,
right? And you're not quite a playoff team. You're willing to grow with him because he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's Trey Lance, and you say, okay, he's worth it. We'll give you the 30th pick or the 27th pick for Trey Lance, and then you move him out and get Rodgers. In that case, and with that roster, how could the 49ers not want to do that?
Right.
Say, how could they not want to?
I just think they're the team that stands out as, you know, the team that has all this talent,
without a star quarterback,
but they don't have the quarterback to, you know, and give them credit because they tried to get Trey Lance, and the injury just, you know, kept them from doing it. So now, just like Jordan Love, we're going to go into year three of Trey Lance, and he's barely thrown the football. He's barely been on the field. And if you're the 49ers, you're with your roster expecting to compete for championships, and you don't have the quarterback that you know of that can compete for a title.
Excuse me. And they're not going to be able to draft a quarterback. And let's say you quit on Trey Lance, you're going to be picking too late to get a guy that you think's a franchise. So you already got Trey Lance there. So right, it's going to be an interesting offseason because I don't think the Packers are making the playoffs. I haven't felt that way for two. I mean, I felt like that about them not making it for the last couple of weeks. I don't think they're going on a 7-game run.
No.
The schedule's too tough, and they're just not good enough. They're not showing enough.
Their defense is beat up and injured now, and it's just it's
Tannehill
a lost
looked
year.
Like a Tannehill looked like the MVP of the league last night. Excuse me, against them, sure did.
It's one of those things that, you know, me as a Bears fan, I love watching. I love seeing the demise of the Packers finally. Like,
of course you do.
Yes, they've had poor years, but not like this. Not where you go and sign your Hall of Fame quarterback for another few years and you're expecting to compete for championships and in a bad NFC. Like, this is a bad NFC, and the Packers are 4-7 looking at 4-8 in the face when they play Philadelphia next week.
That's
in
exactly
Philly.
Right.
Some other headlines. Bills Browns moved to Detroit because of the snow. I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures that have come out recently of the stadium.
It's friggin' nuts.
You can't see the seats. And people were like, they got to play there. They got to. No. Like, let's not.
Well,
be dumb.
Nobody can't get to the stadium. They're not even going to leave their house. Yeah. It's like above doors. And I mean, there's not enough. I know. And listen, I played in Minnesota, Sags. We got 24 inches of snow on Halloween one year. And the next day we could get on the streets and go to work and practice because they got like more of those snow movers than they got cars in the damn state.
Right.
All right. I mean, the efficiency of them under those emergency conditions is crazy. Right. The snow started to fall when you were trick or treating, right, with your kids. And then you wake up, it's like 27 inches.
Yeah.
They're pushing 50 of them. And now you're 50 inches, and Jim Cantore's out there, you know,
right?
I hope he makes about $5 million a year because that dude gets some of the. I mean, he's always puts himself in harm's
right
way.
In the middle
he's
of
the
it.
Best at it. He sure as hell does. So I'm with you, man. You can't get him to the stadium. Nobody go. You're not gonna be able to leave. You just gotta hope your heat works and you got enough groceries to prepare for that. So everybody's okay. And where's your dog go to the restroom in Buffalo right now, Sags? Honest to God.
You better have some of those pee pads.
Yeah, and they better be used to them because, you know, so if you're a dog that's been around, you're like, man, you're crazy. I'm not going on pee pads.
Know what that
See
is.
That carpet over there? Yeah, what do you want me to do? So I know those are little things, but damn, no, we're not playing football there. And there ain't no way, Segs, if this keeps up, I don't know how they're going to do it, but if this snowstorm keeps up for a couple days, Did they already leave? Buffalo had to travel already.
Yes,
they had
yes,
to get
I
out
believe
before the snow.
they're gone. And the good thing for Buffalo is they play Thursday in Detroit on Thanksgiving against
So they
the
stay there.
Lions.
That's a,
They
they're
just
not
stay
going
there.
back. That's what I was
It
going to. I
works
forgot
out.
about that. That's right. That's right.
Cleveland
They
can
got
go
the
back to
short week, so
Cleveland.
they're going to be staying in Detroit the whole time. So they're not. They don't even get to sniff seeing their families before. Hopefully, families went with them, right? So
Right.
their families could go and eat at a hotel or what have you, or the team throws a big old spread for their families on Thanksgiving because you ain't getting back. So it's a wise move to stay there, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it definitely
That's crazy though.
interesting.
Those
I just,
pictures, those pictures look fake. That's how
yeah,
much
you
snow's made. It
literally,
looks
it's just,
fake.
you can't see the seats. So it's just snow over the seats and the seats aren't there, it looks like. It
Right.
just
It's
looks like a
nuts.
big bowl of snow. That's all it looks like.
Right. That's right.
Some of the big games we got this weekend in the NFL, we got Chiefs at Chargers. I mean, a loss here for the Chargers knocks them out of the playoffs. And I don't know about the Jets and the Patriots, and they play each other this week in another game that, you know, could have some implications as we get more into the later parts of the season for the playoffs. But the Chargers are just a team I don't trust. I don't trust them. I don't care who their quarterback is. You go back to Phillip Rivers, you go back to Drew Brees. You just never, and now it's Justin Herbert, you just never trust this team.
Well, I also don't trust the head coach to make the right call
Right.
during game management
I don't
on a
trust the
regular basis.
trainers to keep these guys healthy week in, week out.
Right. See, they're at the point now where Herbert can go out and play like a grown-ass man that dresses in a phone booth, and they can still lose. Honestly, and this is Kansas City. Now, the one thing they do the last three or four meetings, that they'll give Kansas City all they can handle. We've seen it, right? The best bet here, if you're a bettor and you want to go to bet online, take the over is what I'd do. Okay, I'd take the over in this game, which I'm going to do, but you're right. Now the Chargers are capable, but Sakes, they are on a, in my opinion, they are on a week to week. They should be starting to treat this like single elimination because they're not healthy. I know, I think Keenan's, isn't Keenan and both Mike Williams back at the same, they're both now on the field this week,
Yeah, they're
right?
both
Supposedly,
trying to get
Mike's,
back. I don't think they play this week. I
right.
just think it's too quick.
They've been on the practice field is my
I
point.
look at
Yeah.
next week. Maybe they get on the field this week and can give Herbert a boost. But since they've both been out, I mean, Herbert just got has nobody to throw to, and
Thanks. If
it's
you watch,
all
they're getting like,
underneath.
right, they're getting like 28 or 30 completions, and it's like for 175, 190 yards, right?
His
200.
yards
I
per
mean, they've
attempt
got
is like
no
under
big play.
six.
Yeah, they got no big playability right now.
Right.
I mean, unless it's run after the catch on horizontal football, and we already know what the Kansas City Chiefs bring to the table. I still think both can score points. I just don't know. Yeah, I'm with you on the trust factor. I want to. Every year I go in, I say, look at that roster. And by the middle of the season, nine of them are hurt. Coach is making calls on fourth and four with a 3-point lead, and you go for it instead of kick to get set. I mean, crazy shit, right? So we're going to find out how, if the Chargers are live or Memorex, or if they're, if it's, you know, the cold hard facts of are they in or they out type of thing. And I know it's still a lot of games to go, but I'm with you. I had them winning the division at the beginning of the year. I thought they had a chance, and then they chargered, unfortunately, and here we are.
It's just one of those teams that continually does it. Looking at another game, Cowboys at the Vikings on ESPN. The Cowboys are a 1.5 point favorite in Minnesota against the team that just knocked off Buffalo and is what 8-1 in the conference or 8-1 overall, number two team right now behind the Eagles, but they have the same record as the Eagles. Is this people still just underrating the Vikings? And this is the Cowboys coming off a loss to the Packers, who we just talked about how bad they've been.
Right, with a 28-14 lead going into the fourth quarter and blowing it, right? That's
So is
one.
this people just underrating the Vikings or are people
I don't
overrating
think
the
they,
Cowboys? I
no, I
don't
think
know.
they, Segs, I think they look at the emotion from the Buffalo game, right? The natural
The
come down
letdown.
from it. But you are at home if you're Minnesota. Here's what I don't get. And maybe we got to, I mean, I think they keep waiting for Cousins to throw it to the other team. You know what I'm saying? That to Viking a lot of times. But they're winning different ways this year. And you know what, Segs? I don't even know if it's underrated. I think they don't respect. I don't think the national feel. I don't think they trust an 8-1 Vikings team. I don't. And I can make the argument the Vikings are the best team in the NFC. I can make that argument. And I think that's why I still like the Vikings at home. I don't think the Vikings are fake this year. Now, I don't know if they're going to win the NFC, but I don't like the Cowboys either because I don't think they know their identity because Kellen Moore wants to throw it all over the lot, and the truth is they need to be handing it to Pollard and run the football more. I don't trust – if they're throwing over 40 times, I don't think they're going to win. So while I think the Cowboys will play better this week, even though they played good for quite a bit of time, I don't like them as a closing team either because right. I don't think Kellen Moore understands their identity. I'm taking the Vikings at home to continue this run, man, as yeah, long as emotionally they're into it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, yeah, you're coming off that Bills game, but you know how important this game is if you're Minnesota, beating the Cowboys in your conference for conference seeding. You want, you know, at least yep. to get that 2 seed, if not the 1 seed over Philly, because who knows, you know, Philly may, coming off that loss, they may say, or not say, but they may have a letdown, you know, saying, like, damn, we shouldn't have lost that game to Washington. We could lose again. And then one more NFL game, I kind of hit on it. Jets at Patriots, Patriots -3.5. Both are in the playoff hunt. The Jets are in the playoffs. I think the Patriots, I think they might be in the playoffs by the last spot. I'd have to look again. But do you think either of these teams are a true contender, or are they just out here winning games they really shouldn't win?
I think contender to get through the AFC, no. To get, I think both of them aren't going to make the playoffs. I would lean towards the Jets making it. But I don't think either one of them are a true late playoff contender this year. I think the Jets, this will be a great boost for them moving forward, and it'll be a great story. I don't think you're going to see them go deep in the playoffs. They feel like either one of them feels like one and done if they get in.
Yeah, right now, actually, I just looked it up. All four AFC East teams are in the playoffs, with the Chargers at 5-4, as same as the Patriots. But the Patriots
like
have whatever tiebreaker it is.
And the NFC East, the all four of those teams, Washington, if they beat the they're a half game out from the 49ers of all four of those teams being in the playoffs right now, record wise. Washington beats the Texans because they're down in the loss column, one extra game that the 49ers aren't. So if they win, you're looking at eight AFC, the eight Eastern teams that are on the cusp of being playoff teams right now.
Yeah, it's great.
And I don't think both from the AFC East make it on the bottom. I think one of them does. I don't think all three of them, or both of them do.
And if you look at it before the season, I think a lot of people would have said you might get maybe four playoff teams if you believed in Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins offense. If you believed in it, I could see why you'd have them in the playoffs. But I don't think a lot of people did have them in the playoffs. So I think it was more like you're looking at the Eagles, Cowboys, and Bills. Those were the three teams that I think a lot of people had in the playoffs. But now we're, like you said, we're looking at, you know, I think a minimum of six making the playoffs in the end.
Three in each. I agree. Yeah, I think it's hard to get four from either one. Yeah. They just eliminate themselves. But, yeah, we're legitimate, whether it's a down year for some or not. I think you're getting six of the teams from the East, NFC, AFC, in.
All right, and then look ahead to college football this weekend. I think it all comes down, you know, the big games this weekend are in your conference. It's the Pac-12. I think you start with UCLA, USC. I think that's a game that, you know, I don't want to call it a trap game because we know how good UCLA is, but I don't want to call it a trap game for USC because they do have Notre Dame next week, who's been playing very good football as of late. Looking at these two teams, we saw UCLA fall last week. What do you look for as the biggest matchup with these two heading into this weekend's big rivalry game?
You know what, Segs, to me, first of all, I think the game's in the 80s or 90s. I do. I've watched both of these teams a lot. Obviously, I've seen every USC game, and I've watched UCLA a bunch. I don't know how either one of them get a stop.
Right.
And that's the whole key. If you can get a couple three and outs and flip it and score 10 points or 14 points on a flip and make the other one chase, I honestly think we call it a track meet. I think it's a basketball game. I do.
Yeah.
I think when the time's over, it's 48-44, 48-41. I mean, it's as high score. It's always, I went back and looked at, like, for the most part, they score points last, like Slovis 3 years ago threw for 500 yards. The year after that, he threw 300, almost 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Dart started the year after that. DTR went nuts on them, and they scored 50 or 60 on the Trojans last year. And now Dart starting at Ole Miss, they're going to Arkansas. Keaton Slovis is at Pitt. Yeah, and they got another quarterback who's better than both of them, maybe combined, as good as Caleb Williams is. And DTR is an explosive talent. I don't know, Segs. They're going to play. Both teams are going to run, what, 80 plays?
Yeah,
I'm just telling you, the whole key, I give you all the, well, can they match up? I don't, they're not, the defenses can't match up against either one of these. And they don't tackle well. It, to me, if you go two or three series without a score, you may lose the game.
yeah.
I took the, I bet the over. The over's takes like 76 and a half or something.
Yeah, I was
I think
just
they're still in the 80s
looking.
or 90s. Yeah. I think it's in the mid to high 70s, I think.
76 and a half.
There you go, 76 and a half. I think this game's in the 80s and maybe a last possession, or you're down 21 and you go two out, and all of a sudden that team scores three straight drives and they're back in it. That's a high scoring. I think USC is going to win the game, but you don't want to be in a chase mode the whole time. You're going to have to match score for score. Whatever defense plays crappy, less crappy, and gets a tackle or two, will stops back-to-back series, you'll win the game.
Yeah, I look at it. Who can get that big turnover? What defense can get the,
Right.
who can make the big play in the big moment on
Yeah,
defense?
ball's kicked out of the end zone at 25-yard line. You squat on a ball, you catch a pick six and go score. And then they go three and out the next series, and you score again. There you go. Now
Yes.
they're chase mode the whole time. Yeah, it's going
Right.
to be one of those games, and it ain't like they're playing it in 30-degree weather where you're worried about what. It's going to be a friggin' basketball game, and I'll take SC because I'm obviously a bit of a, I'm leaning towards that. I think they're the better team,
They're the better
but
team, and
you
they're
can
the
have
one
a
team.
hero.
They're the one team that has something. They have that college football playoff to play for.
They
They
should be
still
treating this
have
like
a shot.
a playoff game. Yes, this should be, they should treat this, and it is. This is single elimination. You lose this, you're way done. At least win to put pressure, and you shouldn't be looking to Notre Dame when you know how important this game is. So that shouldn't even be an issue. This is, you got to put pressure on the committee to make a decision.
Yes.
And you never know what's going to happen with the other teams. Because I know we're not going to talk about it. I think Baylor, you never know with TCU going to Baylor, Segs. You never know. And that's like a 2.5 point game. I'm keeping an eye on that one because you don't know. So USC has to. So I think just with what's on the line, USC wins a close one, but high scoring.
Yeah, it's definitely a situation to watch. And then the other game is Utah at Oregon, which is, gonna probably decide who, if USC wins, who USC plays in the conference championship
Right.
game. And
Right.
is it if USC wins, do they get to avenge their loss against Utah by the 1 point and at Utah, or do they get to play Oregon, who they haven't played? That would give them another quality win, which would be if they win out, they're going to have three very quality wins in a row to end the season. Plus, they have a game in their pocket already against Oregon State that they played on the road and won, who now
Right.
Oregon State is a ranked football team.
Right. Recency bias, too, with three in a row. The committee's going to be looking at that. They have to, and it's just human nature. And Segs, with this Utah Oregon game, it's just so people know, and I know most people watch this have an idea, but remember, Reese, the rules have changed. It's no longer Pac-12 North and Pac-12
Right.
South. It's they're taking the top
It's
two
just
teams.
one
So it does,
conference.
yeah, whoever, who, it's all one, and the top two teams are playing each other. And so I if this game was in Utah, I'd be picking Utah. After what happened to Oregon against Washington, now I love the physicality of Utah, and the quarterback's tough as hell, as we know, Segs. But I haven't seen Oregon play back-to-back bad games. Now they didn't play bad last week; they just didn't play smart, and
Yeah.
they did some silly things late in that football game, right? I think it's going to be a really good game. If the game's in the 30s or pushing a high-scoring game, probably Oregon. If the game's down a little bit, when I guess I'd call high 20s or early low 30s still a high scoring game. I love Kyle Whittingham, advantage head coach Kyle Whittingham, advantage home field advantage Oregon. Fourth quarter win, Segs. I'm going to pick Utah, but I would not bet it. I would pick Oregon. I think the home field advantage is going to be big for Oregon.
Utah is a 2-point favorite on the road
I know, which
up
is
there.
weird to
Yeah,
me,
it's
odd.
weird. It's about a 60 and a half is what I've seen in terms of over under.
If the under hits, take Utah, Segs.
Yes,
That's my
exactly.
opinion. The under hits,
Agree.
right.
Yeah, if you feel like this is a game in the 20s, take Utah. If you feel like, Oregon can put up 35 plus, then take Oregon and the over.
Yeah, it's a team speed and space, and I think Utah can tackle well. But yeah, one thing I said that about USC, part of it, and their offense matched USC throw for throw and play for play for the most part. So I think we underrate Utah's offense, even though the gamblers don't, because they think Utah can go in and win. There you
Right.
go.
We had a big discussion today amongst a lot of the Believe guys about the college football playoff. And, you know, some of these guys feel like it should be, you know, if LSU wins out, it should be three SEC teams in there with the Big Ten champ, regardless of what TCU does. I think if TCU wins out, they're in. You're not leaving an undefeated team out. I'm sorry. I don't care what kind
they play. Power five school?
Yes. You're just not doing it. And again, I still think if USC runs the table, I think if you put them side by side against LSU, I don't care that LSU beats Georgia. They lost in tremendous fashion to Tennessee at home, and they lost in New Orleans to Florida State, who is a solid football team, but not great. If USC runs the table, their one loss is going to be a 1 point last second, 2 point conversion
to a top 10 team,
to a top 10 team on the road. And then you beat Notre Dame, you beat Oregon or Utah, you avenge your loss and you beat UCLA. So I just look at it. I know everybody loves the SEC and everybody thinks the SEC is God, but you know what? I'm looking at teams like Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina. I'm looking at these teams. In the end, Sean, they're not very good football teams. They're not like, it's not like you're beating, you know, a top 25 team every single week. Even though some of those teams are ranked, they're not ranked teams in reality.
Well, Kentucky and South Carolina, you can beat South Carolina any given day. No yeah. offense to South Carolina, you just can. They continue to build, and they'll be fine with Beamer as their head. You know, Shane Beamer is there. They're going to be fine. But and beating Kentucky this year, unfortunately, I know Kentucky has not played great football this year. I'm actually disappointed in Kentucky. I'm not going to argue with you about USC, Segs. They're a long shot considering the people that are in front of them. Now you got to get help. I'll say this about TCU. Do I think SC can beat TCU? I do. Do I think LSU can beat TCU? Yes, of course I do. Do I think Tennessee beat TCU? Yes. But I got to put respect on a name of a Power 5 conference. Now, if TCU loses to Baylor, that conversation's out. No Big 12 team's doing. But listen, man, I'll tell you this. I think a undefeated TCU team has a far bigger argument than a two-loss SEC team. Yes. I'm not saying they're better than LSU.
No.
Their argument's bigger. Okay, now just flip it. I mean, of course they'd have the argument. Listen, I spent a lot of time looking at this LSU thing because I'm on there in New Orleans and Baton Rouge every friggin' week. Say, I don't think it's a stone-cold lock that I think you can balance it like, well, 6-1 half dozen the other, that if LSU beat Georgia in a close one, how are you leaving Tennessee out?
I can't.
Tennessee's argument is going to be we kicked their ass in their building. Now, then the argument for the other way around is LSU is going to say, yeah, but we beat the number one team in the country in their building in the SEC title game. We should go two losses or not. Now, this may all be settled because Georgia may boat race LSU, but I don't think it's a stone cold lock that if LSU goes, Tennessee's not. Just understand this.
Right.
Now, that's the argument because then it's a three-way. Let's say Georgia does lose to LSU. And let's just say for fun, what if they said, well, recency bias, Georgia got beat 31-17. Georgia's out. Tennessee's go. Well, Georgia said, whoa, 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 whoa. We smoked Tennessee in our building.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's argument is going to be we smoked LSU in their building. And then LSU's argument is, well, we beat the SEC championship by 10 points. We deserve to go. So then what happens? So, listen, I love the chaos, and I want it to be that way. And then I want USC to run the table and say, well, wait a minute, have you seen us? Now, who are you leaving out? We could get two teams that are like, wait, because if TCU wins, they're in. I'm just telling they're not counting. TCU is not going to miss the playoff, whether we think the other teams are better or not. If they go undefeated and win the Big 12 championship, they are going. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two is we know that the winner of the Ohio State-Michigan game, as long as they don't get screwed up and get beat by, what, Purdue in the Big 12 championship as we sit now, whoever it's going to be, one of them's going. And then there's the argument, well, what if Ohio State loses to Michigan by a field goal? And then you say, well, we just got beat by the third team in the country. Why can't we be the one lost?
Right, because Ohio State would have wins over Notre Dame and Penn State.
Right. So we got a hellified argument, and Michigan would have the same argument Ohio State would have if Ohio State beat them with a buzzer beater field goal. Mm-hmm. So we're into, I just know this. If you're undefeated Power Five team, you're going.
Yes.
That's number one. Two is Tennessee and SC are going to have some really, really big arguments if LSU beats Georgia and they go, Georgia goes, Michigan goes, and TCU goes. Hell, Ohio State, Southern Cal, and Tennessee will all have an argument. We'll have three teams on the outside looking in saying, how are we not playing in this?
Right.
And then you're, but you know, listen, what could have Michigan beats Ohio State, Georgia kicks LSU's ass, TCU loses before then, and then you go Georgia, Tennessee,
Michigan,
Georgia, Tennessee, Michigan, and who'd I leave
USC.
Out? Georgia, Tennessee, Michigan, and probably USC. That's how USC gets in, correct?
But there's more chaos if what you, well, no, because what it would be Ohio State versus USC. Those would be the two arguments.
And the recency of three teams, the three top ranked, three ranked teams for USC would trump Ohio State.
Yes,
to get
in my opinion, I agree. It's just one of those things. And then, you know, the team that kind of is just forgotten about, and for rightfully so, but Clemson runs the table. They're still a 12-1 ACC champion that, you know, rightfully so, in my opinion, and we've talked about this. They're not getting any respect because I don't think they deserve the respect for the way
they
played.
They were overrated to start the season. Yes. That was me, but I'm not on the committee. Right.
Let me just one quick thing before we jump to college basketball and make our picks. Georgia, if they do lose to LSU in the conference championship, you beat Oregon, who was not the Oregon. And what if Oregon loses this week? That win looks even worse, even though it's against Utah. You lose at home to Utah with a chance to get to the Pac-12 championship. You lost last week. That'd be two straight losses. And then for Georgia, your only other win is Tennessee. That's it. See, I mean, outside of that, they don't have anything. Like, Florida's not a good win. Auburn's not a good win.
Right.
And then it's just a bunch of shit.
Thanks. We've got caught up, and I know I have. Because Georgia won it last year. We just assume. But earlier this week, I started to say, well, wait a second now. If they beat LSU, and then the argument is we beat it. I mean, if they lose to LSU, the argument for me is going to be, well, wait a second. While LSU's played really good football late, you just got your ass beat by a two-loss team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be committee concern. Segs, I'm not out of the woods yet to think 27-20 victory by LSU. That it doesn't go LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, Tennessee, and if TCU wins there, and if not, USC or Ohio State go in, probably USC. I'm not convinced that Georgia, if they get beat by LSU, is automatic anymore, knowing what they played in their schedule. I think we favor them because they're the reigning national champions.
It would be such a weird dynamic if LSU wins, because LSU, Tennessee, and Georgia have all beat each other. And I just don't know how they would, you know, circumvent that, because I'm sorry, Tennessee going into LSU in Baton Rouge and winning in the fashion they did, to me, is a better win than LSU over Georgia in the SEC championship game, you know,
at a
neutral site,
even though it's Atlanta, Atlanta, it's not Athens. That's exactly.
And so I don't know. It would be, that's why I'm rooting for chaos. I want to see it. I just hope Michigan, you know, beats Ohio State and gets in, and because they'd be guaranteed. And like I mentioned, USC would have a big time argument. TCU's in if they're undefeated. And you know what? Why do we have to take two SEC teams? Like I said, I think the conference is good, but I think a lot of those teams are overrated by SEC fans that are so loud that Kentucky and Auburn, they're just not that great of football teams this year.
Right. We don't have to, but I don't think if Georgia loses, they're not a stone cold lock, in my opinion.
All right. And then finally, it's time to pick our final four, our player of the year and our coach of the year. Sean, I really, really struggled to find the four teams I wanted for my final four. I had two that I know I wanted in there. They're in there. The other two, you know, I've watched a lot of college basketball here early on, and some teams Gonzaga looked good, and then they didn't look good. And then
Texas, you know, put a friggin' beat down on him, brother.
Yeah, just an ass whooping. You know, Michigan State's kind of come out of nowhere. We talked about that. There's a lot of good teams. I don't know how many great teams there are. So
Right.
how do you want to do this? Do you want me to just give my four,
Yeah,
or do
go
you want
ahead.
to do
Give
one
me
and
your yeah.
one?
No, let's go one on one. You go ahead and start, and then we'll do the
All
same
right.
thing with player of the year, a couple, and coach of the year.
All right. So for
And I don't
me,
care what order Segs is the
yeah.
number one seed, just the four, and then we'll pick
Right.
the national champion.
I'm going
Okay.
to start with my first Final Four pick. I'm going North Carolina. I just think that, they have coming off last year, I think that they can be even better. I just think that they may be the best team in the country to me.
Oh yeah, and boy did Hubert Davis turn that around quickly on the transfer
Yeah.
from him
And
to from
I
Roy
mean,
Williams to him, right? And remember, he
Bacot
got
is just a
questioned as a hire.
monster. And
Bacot, if he's got to be in your, I mean, when you're talking players of the year, he's got to be part of it. We'll get to those guys, but yeah, he's a phenomenal talent. And Sakes, they're loaded, and they always get one and done guys, and they're packed. I'll get to them. Well, you know what? I'll throw them in too because I have them in my final four. I was gonna I wrote them down, but I put them in. They've got if not the best player in the country, one of them. They're well coached. They're coming off. They understand what it's like now to be. I mean, always North Carolina, but immediately tournament tested last year, and they'll learn from it. And they're stacked. And he's got his finger on the pulse, does Hubert. I love this team, and I think they're a legitimate. Not only in the Final Four team, but national title winner. I got North Carolina in it as well.
Yeah, and then my second team, I'm going UCLA. I think with their returning player, God, I'm blanking on his name, Jacquez, and then you bring in
Yep.
Tiger Campbell, the young point guard, Amari Bailey, another top prospect. I think that Bona, the big kid in the middle, I think he's underrated by some. I just think that this is a team that has all the firepower you need to be a title contending team, and I don't want to say they're going to run away with the Pac-12, but I think they are, to me, the clear best team in the Pac-12. Arizona is going to be in there and a few others, but I have UCLA as the top team, and I just think they're going to put it all together this year.
I love their coach's attitude too, Sakes. I do. The Pac-12's got they've got it's a good basketball conference. It's not the best basketball conference in the country. And there will be teams. They're not going undefeated. They're going to get beat,
No.
but they are athletic. They've got a player of the year candidate. And Sakes, about this league. What is the one guy you got to have? You better have a point guard. You better have a guy at the perimeter that can handle and gets and their coach will. He will be on your ass, and he coach. Well, you know what he is. He's Bob Huggins tough, right? Ironically, as you know that. So, and you know how I feel about Huggy and Frank Martin and that group. I also got UCLA. They're my team that right now is in the top 10. They're kind of sitting on the outside. Texas is doing some good things too, but UCLA to me, and I think they can run through the conference pretty well. It'll be competitive. But I think UCLA is going to get through the tournament. I think this is one of the better teams they've had in a while. I like the Bruins. I have them in my four as well.
All right, for me, my third
And
team is
it pains me to say too, as you know,
I'm
Sakes.
yeah, I'm sure
Pains
it
me to
does.
say at Pauley Pavilion, but they're really, really good, and I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, my third team, a team you just mentioned, a team we saw just dominate. I'm going with Texas Longhorns. I think adding in Marcus Carr from Minnesota, who I don't think a lot of people know about. But a lefty guard that can create his own shot. He can make the passes. I think going to a team with the kind of talent that Texas has, Marcus Carr is going to shine. Now, he's not going to go out there and score 20 plus points like he could at Minnesota because he's got so much talent around him. But I think adding him in was such a big deal for Texas. And I mean, and they added other players. They've got, Tyrese Hunter. They got other guys on that team, Timmy Allen. The big kid in the middle, Dissu, I believe it's how you
Yep.
pronounce his name.
Ooh, yeah, he's a mo
I
monster.
mean, there's so much talent on that team. And, when you just look at what Beard brings to the table as a coach, he's a national title contending coach that now has a lot of talent, just like he did at Texas Tech. Just like, I think that Texas has the players now to make that run to the Final Four.
Yeah, I love him as a coach. Sex Tech, he turned Texas Tech into a basketball school instead of a football school for he did. And I know it was a bummer for them to lose him and to go right down, go from West Texas right here to Austin. And you know what they got at Austin, Segs, a lot of money,
Money.
and they'll support everything. And he's going to turn it into, he doesn't want Texas to be known as a football school either. Matter of fact, who's got a better chance to win the national title this year? Going in, it was Texas basketball, not Texas football. So, and the Big 12 again is loaded, Segs, with the teams with Kansas and Baylor and Texas. There are some really, really good basketball teams in the Big 12, but that's been the case. It's a better basketball conference than it is football conference depth wise. We know Baylor obviously is always going to be in contention as well. So, I'm glad you chose them. So we're not going all four the same, because folks, we didn't talk about who our guys are any of this. We never do, Sags and I, when it comes to hoops. I love Texas, as I told you about UCLA, but I'm not putting them in there. I'm taking another team from Texas, and it ain't Baylor. Okay,
No, I know where you're going.
I'm taking University of Houston. You know my affinity for Kelvin Sampson. I talked to him, Sags, going into last year. Kelvin's one of my good friends, and we communicate a lot. And you've been with me when we've had him on the show, obviously. And you know how much he loves his kids. When I went into last year, Segs, we were talking, and I asked him about his club last year, who made one hell of a run to the Final Four, right, last year. And you know what he said going into last season? He goes, "Sean, we're really inexperienced." He goes, "I got great kids. I just don't know how we're going to respond." And then best player gets hurt, right? Gets hurt, and they have to go, and they still make the Final Four. Segs, I'm going to tell you this. I think he's the best coach. Now, I know people may argue because of Texas's new head coach, and I think Kelvin Sampson's the best coach in Texas in any sport. I do. I hold him in that kind of regard. And maybe it's more emotional too. And I know he can coach X's and O's, but my affinity for him and knowing, like talking to him, that's kind of about not stuff other than basketball, right? I know he could teach X's and O's, but the thing I love about him, Segs, and you know this about him, they are friggin' relentless on the defensive end. If you don't play defense and you're an MVP, you're set. They are relentless on the defensive end. What's kept them out the last couple of years and last year is the inability to shoot late in games and knock down threes in a Final Four. They can shoot. This is better. Sasser's as good as there is in America. And now this year, Segs, with the inexperience, now they've got experience. They've recruited one and done. I always think Kelvin and Houston's a good basketball hotbed, but Texas, it's probably underrated in the national scope. But he knows how to get them. And I always think, well, what if Kelvin now with the one and dones was coaching at like Kentucky, like Cal is, and the good gracious. Well, he's got him. Final Four here. It's right here in Houston this year. Kelvin Sampson's team's the best one he's had, in my opinion. And you also got to have a guy that can go to and take over a game, and he's got that Sasser, among other players. I got Houston, and I'm not sure they're not going to go in as the number one seed when all is said and done. Love this team. I think they're in the Final Four.
Yeah, I think they're a very good team. I don't have them in. They're one of those teams where I feel like kind of like Gonzaga. I mean, I think they can get to the Final Four. I'm not saying that, but it feels like they're just not tested enough throughout the year.
Fair
And
enough.
they're in a good conference.
Gonzaga
They're in a,
always pulls that late, right? They always pull
yeah,
that late.
like there's just, once you really get into conference play, I think Houston's so much better than the others. Like, there's still going to be Memphis and there's Cincinnati and there's still good players, but and still good teams in that conference. But I feel like you're just not tested enough, like a Kentucky or a UNC or whoever in their conference. But I think
And then the
that's what
question
hurts them.
is right. And you got to ask, is battle tested for the Kentuckys in the SEC? Or a team in the Big 12 like Baylor or something, but it's proved battle tested or fresh legs. But to Gonzaga and Houston, to your point, the lesser conferences have had trouble
Yes.
closing it out in the end, is my point. We'll see
Right,
if this year's different.
exactly. Exactly. And they're going to be going to the Big 12 soon. Hope,
Of course. Oh, yeah.
and that will, hopefully help take them to even another level. And then my final team I went through a lot of teams, including Houston was one I considered. Duke's going to be young, but they have so much talent. Kentucky with
Keep an eye on
Tshiebwe.
Arkansas too.
Yes, Arkansas
Tshiebwe
is
was the
another
reigning
team.
player of the year. That's exactly right.
There's a lot of really good teams, but I kind of went outside the box here and just
Let
they're
me
a good
guess.
team. Top
Are you going?
15.
You're not. You're not staying in your conference, are you?
I may be, yeah.
Indiana?
Indiana. I think
I
Trace
figured.
Jackson
I thought
Davis
about
has
them
a
too.
chance to be the player of the year. I think he's ready. He came back to this Indiana team that has growing talent. They've been young, and they've kind of just been that team that every year they are supposed to take that next step, and they never do. Well, they went and got Mike Woodson a few years ago, and he's been working this roster, and he got Jackson Davis to come back, and I think that's the difference. Him coming back this year can take Indiana to a Big Ten championship, to a Final Four, because he's that good of a player. I don't think a lot of people know much about Trace Jackson Davis, but he is a monster when you look at them. And then, you know, Xavier Johnson, Miller Kopp is another kid that, you know, transferred in that I think can now is finally in the system and understands the system that Mike Woodson wants to play and can affect them. So I think Indiana is a team that I'm taking my last team to get there.
Stegs, I think Assembly Hall is going to be rocking bigger than it has in quite some time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I actually had my pin down and said, do I want to put the Hoosiers on here? Because I love the player. I think I love the coach. I do. You talked about their depth. I don't need to repeat it. And I think, you know, Big Ten's good basketball, Stegs, and that's where it comes to, you know, you got to still run through your guys.
You're
and
battling
it's,
night in, night
oh,
out
dude,
in the Big Ten.
I even said Michigan State hanging around, even though they're not ranked. I know what Izzo is, but you better take elbows to the throat, and you know that's happened in the Big Ten. So you're in a fist fight
every single
Monday
night, no
on a
play.
Regular time, right? I honestly, I'm sitting here saying, Hoosiers, do I do it? Do I do it? But I'm gonna go with.
Oh wait,
what I
know.
Always do.
I know.
Shocker. The reigning national champions and my guys. Sags, we've known each other for a long time now. Is there been a time I haven't picked the Kansas Jayhawks to get to the Final Four?
No.
Because I figure
and
every 4 or 5
at
years
least
I'm going to win
80%
one.
Of the time you've picked them to win it all.
To win it all, right. I am going to take the Jayhawks as the reigning national champion. We obviously know loaded Bill Self's a great basketball coach. My biggest concern, Sags, in truth, while you talked about playing in a tougher conference, Big Ten, Big 12, battle-tested, right? But, man, is it brutal. I mean, you got to go through where they got to go through to get where they want to be a 1 or 2 seed, right, when all is said and done, because Baylor ain't going away. You mentioned your Texas Longhorns. I'm talking about the overall package. You're going to get
– right.
You just got to – it's a physical battle in the Big 12 as well. But they're loaded. They're talented. Lottery picks. They got – you know, they've got one – and Bill Self. And I think the hunger will still be there, Segs. Winning one with the team is one thing. I also think winning a second one's even more impressive. I don't know if they got enough to win the whole thing again, but I got them in the Final Four because, well, I just love Kansas basketball. I love Bill Self, and it ain't going to be easy. They'll get upset by somebody, and you know this. They're going to get beat. I love – and they got a great home court advantage throughout because, you know, Allen Fieldhouse is a great place to play, and they defend their home honor pretty well. But they're going to get beat by somebody. You're going to say, what? What? And then all of a sudden, they're a great build to a crescendo team. I got Kansas in a Final Four again.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and they have the youngster in Grady Dick that a lot of people
dude,
would love
he is
to
a,
hate.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, he's an antagonizer, too. There's
yes,
no question about it.
DeJuan Harris is a great guard. Jalen Wilson, who is a kid that, you know, was reportedly committed to Michigan or very close. So I know a lot
off.
About him,
yeah.
Followed him. He's a very good player.
And you mentioned Harris,
Sags.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of this. I don't believe you can win a national title without great guard play. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, Patrick Ewing's on your team and you got that guy, Elijah One.
Right.
Even them to get their national title back then when centers were even more relevant. I don't. You have to have great guard play. You just do. And Kansas will produce that. And that may be the difference, but it's going to be a rough one. I'm not secure with this pick, but, you know, they're going to hover in the top 10 most of the year and hover around number one and they'll lose the game they're not supposed to, but they're a pretty loaded roster and they've got good guard play and they've got an experienced coach. And like I said, they have the antagonizer that people want to flip off and cuss at the television set and yell. And when he goes into visiting arenas, they're going to hold signs up, but they're pretty good. And I just got to see them make sure the hunger factor's there, that they're not comfortable after what happened last year.
You know, I'm just, you know, one thing I just want to point out is I'm glad that, you know, Kansas got out. They had all these, penalties coming from the NCAA and stuff. And, they were really out in front of it. And, suspending Bill Self for those four games was just,
before it all started. Yeah, what a rough.
Just great on Kansas. Harsh. I mean, respect to them.
Yeah, harsh. Dude, feel sorry for the punishment they, okay? You set Bill Self down four games before it really got going. Dude, slow down now. I mean, now, look at what suffers over at the Wheel and the Hawk, the bars off campus that the kids can't go there. Well, they had to suspend Bill for four.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't see. And,
put some respect.
I maybe just mentioned a youngster in Jalen Wilson that,
Whoa.
I don't want to throw accusations out there about Bill Self.
Yeah,
but
don't.
I've heard some stories, and his four game suspension, very warranted. I thought maybe even a little extreme by Kansas University.
By three games, Sakes. How do rumors get started, Sakes? They get started by the jealous people. Okay.
My favorite thing is
to give you a cut.
Colleges, they do all this stuff. We know they pay hundreds of thousands, if not millions, to players to get them to come to their schools. Behind the scenes and cars and houses and all this stuff. We know it all happens. And then these schools try and get out ahead of the NCAA and they find themselves $5,000.
We're going to hammer Bill Self with a four gamer and we're going to find the school lunch money for one of our recruits, $5,000, right?
And then you have Tennessee beating Alabama. The fans tear down the goalpost. Then they start a GoFundMe to replace the field goal post. Like, it's these colleges are a joke. It's all a joke.
Can I get you some compassion for Kansas basketball, please?
No. I mean, they're four games. They just, they
got hammered with the those four game segs. I don't know how they overcome it. The $5,000 stakes.
The fact that you have them in the final four when Bill Self, had that suspension is just
what a reach by me, right?
I know you took the reach of the century by picking Kansas, who you've never picked before to be in the final four.
Ever. And I'll tell you what, I love how in depth Kansas got really deep on self suspension. They really punished that program. Listen, we don't need the NC2A to roll into Lawrence, dude. Leave them alone, man. Lay off the Kansas
the NCAA Jayhawks. That it's been 5 years since this has all started, and the NCAA is still sitting there just counting money for. Yeah,
but we
shit.
Came up with four games and $5,000. So Sags, harsh punishment for the Jayhawks. I don't know how they're going to overcome it, but apparently they're three. They've started off pretty well, so we'll see.
Think about this. We've talked about the NCAA, who's just, as big as of a joke as there is when it comes to this kind of stuff. We've talked about FIFA, who is, just as bad, if not worse, when it comes to corruption and shit.
Maybe the worst governing body in the history is FIFA.
And then, number three on the list, which you could argue is number one, is the Olympics, the Olympic Committee. It's just all three of those are just the biggest running jokes. People want to talk about Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell looks like he's on top of everything compared to those three entities.
Oh yeah. Well, he makes him look like the greatest commissioner and leader in sports history.
It's just no crazy. Doubt about it. All right. Who's your player of the year?
You know what? Let's see. Oscar Tshiebwe. What do you average? 17 and 15 last year is the reigning.
Yeah.
They
have to look it up.
I think
like
17
that.
And 15. Yeah. He's obviously at the top of the list. Tshiebwe is a monster. Dude is so good. I'd probably lean him first. If Houston can make the run they want, the question is, will the national pundits give Sasser enough credit, right? Timmy's going to be at the top of the list. I still don't trust Gonzaga to win to win the whole thing. I don't.
Right, no.
But Timmy's going to get his. I'm going to tell you another one, Segs, and when you go to even though they, depending on what kind of, I told you, keep a little bit of an eye on Arkansas. Nick Smith is a hell of a player. They've got themselves a national player. He's a monster. So let me put it so we don't have to go through it all. I'll say Baycott wins it, but it ends up being a four. Timmy will get his, but Sasser may not have gaudy enough statistics when it's over because he plays both ends of the floor. Baycott wins it. Tshiebwe in the conversation. Sasser in the top four or five.
Yeah, I have Armando Baycott winning it as well. Like I mentioned, I think Trace Jackson Davis will be in there from Indiana. You mentioned Oscar Tshiebwe is just a monster.
Dude, Sasser, he's a freak show.
Yes. Yeah. Sasser is one of the best college players. And, you know, it just sucks when you look ahead to the draft and the top two players, Scoot Henderson's playing with the G League team. And then you got, I mean, just an absolute, you want to talk about a unicorn when we talk about alien, anything, this Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, yeah. I think that's how it's pronounced, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just, I mean, you think about Chet Holmgren, you think about KD, you think about Rudy Gobert, you think about, you know, the way he can dribble. I mean, this kid is all three of them.
His handle. Oh, yeah. There's no question.
I mean, and the way he could just step out and shoot like KD, he's 7'4", legit. Fine,
that's
7'4".
What I'm saying, dude. And can run the court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stupid. I mean, and he hasn't even started learning the game of basketball yet.
I don't know how we do this with these guys. I mean, here's the great thing about it. They grow up handling the ball like a guard, and they're 7 foot plus, and they're shooting and handling it like they're going to grow up to be 6'3", right?
Right.
And they're hitting 7 foot. See, like you said, Chet Holmgren, Kristaps Porzingis when he was at his best. I'm thinking about guys like that that run the floor. That you mentioned KD. KD's not 6'10". KD's 7 foot.
Seven foot. Yep.
And right, can pull up and knock three from the locker room. They're making shots.
Dirk.
And yeah, you know, oh yeah, that's
different
exactly
style
right.
Player, but just
yeah.
You
now
know.
Dirk, right? Dirk's not taking you off the bounce, but these guys can.
Yeah.
And getting back, so he's a freak. Segs, you're right. And getting back to Tshiebwe, Segs is we haven't had, think about this with all the great players we've had. Now, maybe it's a lot to do with one and done guys, right? Segs, sometimes the best player, well, like last year from Duke. Why is my guy in the NBA now, Segs? Who was the first pick of the draft?
I'm blanking.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
Orlando,
I do.
Who's the first pick of the draft?
Paolo Banchero.
Yeah. What's that? Banchero.
Paolo Banchero, yeah.
Banchero, right. You look at guys, the one and done guys, we don't get a chance to see them very – another reason why Sasser's intriguing because he's been around for a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Timmy, obviously, he's been around. But, Sags, we haven't had a – I don't think – now, I haven't looked, but I went over in my head before we started the show. Have we had a back-to-back wooden winner since Ralph Sampson?
Oof, well, I'd have to go back and look. Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, I'm taking a wild stab. I may have missed somebody in there because there's been a lot of, and I think Sampson was, he was my era, Segs, because that's why it hits me. Like in the Sampson, I were in school at like the same time. It was like 82, 83 or 83, 84, maybe 82, 83. It might've been 83, 84. Hell, it might've been 81, 82, but in the early 80s, I think, I know Sampson won it back-to-back. I don't know if we've had anybody since then. My gut tells me Tshiebwe's got a chance to be the first guy since Sampson going back-to-back. I don't think a Wooden Award winner has won back-to-back awards since Ralph Sampson, but I may be completely wrong on that. My gut tells me the reason why Sampson sticks out is because that's when I play. So I'm just wondering.
I'm looking at the list here, and it's – no, you're right. Nobody's won
it back-to-back.
Have we had a
back-to-back guy?
No.
There you go. So –
you know,
and,
you go
and
back
he's
to
a legitimate.
You go back to 2006 or 2007. That's Kevin Durant and, you know, the one and duns and, you know,
right,
Carmelo
that's what I'm
was
we've got great
before
players,
that.
Right.
And,
right. So we have,
but
yeah,
you look at,
Carmelo's
you look at a lot of the winners. You look at a lot of the winners.
Older guys.
It's guys that
right?
stay.
Yeah.
You look at Luka Garza. You look at Jalen Brunson. Obi Toppin.
Did Frank Kaminsky win it too? I think.
He won it. Frank Mason, Buddy Hield. You know, there's just Trey Burke at Michigan. He was, you know, stayed. It's just.
That's why Sasser and Timmy, guys like that, that the voters are like, it's almost a reward for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean they're not worthy of it at all because they are, but it's a semi lifetime achievement award. If you play great basketball and you stuck it out, we're going to reward you for being around for a minute playing college basketball. But it struck me when we were thinking about this and when last night that I didn't even look, but I don't know. I should have looked, but I'm glad you did. So thank you. I couldn't remember if we'd had one. So since Sampson, that's a lot of years. Say we're talking 40 years, 39 years. It will be 40 years in 23 since we've had a back-to-back winner at the Wooden Award and more won. And Ralph obviously stayed the whole time.
Right.
And won it twice. You're going to get a guy who's, you know, and Tshiebwe's obviously one of the top contenders, but He's going to have the Sasslers and Timmys and Baycotts and Smiths. There's some really good players.
Well, and that's the crazy thing about college hoops is these freshmen, they walk onto the floor and they're the best players in the country. They're not winning the award every year, but they are. I mean, Nick Smith, you talked about
they're
it, Arkansas.
The first pick.
He's probably the best player in the country in college basketball.
And maybe the first pick of the draft.
Yes, with the most talent and
right.
But yeah, I was just looking at a mock draft. You've got, you know, the unicorn we talked about, Wembanyama. He'll be one
at the top.
You know, everyone's gonna Scoot Henderson.
But somebody falls in love with
freak.
Smith. He sure as hell ain't Smith ain't outside your top five.
No.
I can guarantee you.
No. He's three. And then it's another kid from that went to that overtime elite team that, you know, some kids are going and playing against.
Oh yeah, the one of those travel teams that's the best of the best.
So we don't get to see him in college, which sucks. But yeah, it's just crazy that these freshmen come in and they're just legit the best players in the country, talent wise.
They can't drink a beer, but they can dominate your ass on the basketball court, and they do everything.
Yeah, it's real quick. Who's your coach of the year?
We got some great. I'm gonna either lead. Well, you know what, Segs? Let me reach out and say that it's gonna be my guy, Kelvin Sampson. How's that?
I was gonna say Bill Self because he got suspended.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, for that long suspension. Yeah. I'm gonna lean towards Kelvin Sampson. I think that. It's time, and I think that they're going to be hanging, and I think, you know, people love Kelvin, and I think the impact that Kelvin Sampson is going to have on the University of Houston and his ball club this year, I'm just going to go with him. And the truth of the matter is it's for me, not only is he a great coach, but it's emotion. I want him to win it. So I'm going to pick Kelvin.
Yeah. It's like for you with Dusty winning.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
Dusty
exactly
Baker
right. That's exactly. It's the same feeling I have about those guys in my relationship with them. And you know what? Even though Dusty didn't win it, he got his World Series.
Yep,
I'm hoping
Kelvin
can double down.
Yeah,
can double down. So yeah, hopefully that great momentum that I'm feeling for those two guys carries over for Kelvin.
Yeah, I'm going Mike Woodson at Indiana. I think if they make the Final Four, I think he's a guy that.
Well, if they do, Segs, if they do get to the Final Four, considering where they are now outside the, you know, hovering.
Yeah, they're like
13,
14 right in there.
Right. If they do and get to the Final Four, he'll have not only an argument, it'd be hard to take it away from him. That's a great call.
So, and I love the fact that he came from the NBA and is actually working out in college and showing these kids that, you know, because a lot of these guys, they go from college to the NBA and it doesn't work. And a lot of, you know, some coaches come from the NBA and go down to college and it doesn't work because you can't treat these kids like they're pros. You got to know how to treat
them. Mike knows old
them.
School basketball and with new school recruiting. Mike gets it. Yeah. I'm rooting for him too. I think he's done a hell of a job. That's going to be a fun watch, that Big Ten this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show. Long one, our longest one by far. But
yeah, but
a lot
dude,
to
I
talk
could
about.
Sit here and talk another hour of basketball with you. I love this college hoops.
Oh stuff. Yeah, I mean,
I'm
we,
with you, brother.
It will
sometimes
get more.
You gotta go long, right?
Yeah, we got a lot of these tournaments coming up. We'll have a lot of fun, get a lot of good matchups as we get into it. All right, we will talk to you next week, and we'll break down where's the college football playoff at now. Like, what, you know, what are we thinking could happen? Does somebody stumble, and does USC, are they still in it, Sean? That's going to be the question come Tuesday, I think, when we'll record. Do your Trojans fuck it up? That's the question.
Oh, thanks. Great way to end the show, you prick.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Of course you will.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.